6. The Return from Phoenicia. About noon on Sunday, July 24, Jesus and the 12 left the home of Joseph, south of Tyre, going down the coast to Ptolemais. Here they tarried for a day, speaking words of comfort to the company of believers resident there. Peter preached to them on the evening of July 25. On Tuesday they left Ptolemais, going east inland to near Jotapata by way of the Tiberias road. Wednesday they stopped at Jotapata and instructed the believers further in the things of the kingdom. Thursday they left Jotapata, going north, on the Nazareth-Mount Lebanon trail, to the village of Zebulun, by way of Ramah. They held meetings at Ramah on Friday and remained over the Sabbath. They reached Zebulun on Sunday, the 31st, holding a meeting that evening and departing the next morning. Leaving Zebulun, they journeyed over to the junction with the Magdala-Sidon road near Gishala, and thence they made their way over to Gennesaret on the western shores of the Lake of Galilee, south of Capernaum, where they had appointed to meet with David Zebedee, and where they intended to take counsel as to the next move to be made in the work of preaching the gospel of the kingdom. During a brief conference with David, they learned that many leaders were then gathered together on the opposite side of the lake near Caressa, and accordingly, that very evening a boat took them across. For one day they rested quietly in the hills, going on the next day to the park nearby, where the Master once fed the 5,000. Here they rested for 3 days and held daily conferences, which were attended by about 50 men and women, the remnants of the once numerous company of believers resident in Capernaum and its environs. While Jesus was absent from Capernaum and Galilee, the period of the Phoenician sojourn, his enemies reckoned that the whole movement had been broken up, and concluded that Jesus' haste in withdrawing indicated he was so thoroughly frightened that he would not likely ever return to bother them. All active opposition to his teachings had about subsided. The believers were beginning to hold public meetings once more, and there was occurring a gradual but effective consolidation of the tried and true survivors of the great sifting through which the gospel believers had just passed. Philip, the brother of Herod, had become a half-hearted believer in Jesus and sent word that the Master was free to live and work in his domains. The mandate to close the synagogues of all Jewry to the teachings of Jesus and all his followers had worked adversely upon the scribes and Pharisees. Immediately upon Jesus' removing himself as an object of controversy, there occurred a reaction among the entire Jewish people. There was a general resentment against the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin leaders at Jerusalem. Many of the rulers of the synagogues began surreptitiously to open their synagogues to Abner and his associates, claiming that these teachers were followers of John and not disciples of Jesus. Even Herod Antipas experienced a change of heart, and, on learning that Jesus was sojourning across the lake in the territory of his brother Philip, sent word to him that, while he had signed warrants for his arrest in Galilee, he had not so authorized his apprehension in Perea, thus indicating that Jesus would not be molested if he remained outside of Galilee, and he communicated this same ruling to the Jews at Jerusalem. And that was the situation about the 1st of August, A.D. 29, when the Master returned from the Phoenician mission and began the reorganization of his scattered, tested, and depleted forces for this last and eventful year of his mission on earth. The issues of battle are clearly drawn as the Master and his associates prepare to begin the proclamation of a new religion, the religion of the Spirit of the living God who dwells in the minds of men.